Yeah, welcome into the Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Thursday morning. Ian Safar is out for the next couple of days. And Fraser, Dr. Crane, with us the next couple of days.
Nice.
Joe, how we doing? What's going on?
Well, I mean, you know, usually you just answer that. You say, yeah, fine, everything's good. But I'm just going to tell the listeners what I told you. Katie cleaned out our Keurig with some kind of weird cleaner, and it was, like, sitting there. And then this morning, I'm like, well, if I rinse it out, it should be fine. So I rinse it out, then I made a coffee, and then I was driving, and I took a sip of the coffee, and it tasted really weird. And I'm pretty sick to my stomach right now, and I might hurl on the air. That's how I'm doing.
That's how we're starting things off today. You're on the program. So we'll see how that goes. At least it's not gout. It is something else.
That is true.
That we're dealing with. We look for the positives here on this program.
Yeah, that's a good point. A non-gout illness.
Now, some people have said sometimes we're too negative, so I've tried to look at the positives a little bit more.
Oh, who says that?
Well, every now and then we'll run across some Titans fans that are like, you guys are too negative. It's like, well, you're right. There's a lot to be positive about with the Tennessee Titans. That's our mistake.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up the Titans. I'm feeling even closer to hurling.
But Jim DK is looking good. Good to know.
That's true.
Good to know out there. Nick, how we doing? What's
going on? Fantastic, guys. I was telling Robbie as I walked in, Joe, I'm a morning guy, so you're getting the best out of me right now.
Fraser's been up since 3:30.
Okay.
Fraser's ready to go.
So so by the time you get to Chasing Big Joe, you're actually on the decline a little bit.
Well, that was a big adjustment for me. You know, when we went from 9 to 11 to noon to 3, I was like, well, I'm going to have to switch my schedule around a little bit. It is a little late for me. Normally, I'm in the afternoon winding down, making sure what's for dinner type thing.
Yeah.
Now we're up in the morning. I was rolling pizza dough this morning.
He's already rolled dough this morning.
Yeah.
Fraser's been more productive by 6 a.m. than most of America will be all day.
That is outstanding. For some reason, it doesn't make my stomach get less sick. But
yeah.
I'm proud of you. And 3:30 in the freaking morning, dude. Like, no matter what.
The guy's a stud.
No matter what, really. Yeah, I normally average around 4 o'clock, 4:30 for a wake-up call.
Man. See, and we cannot sit here at any point and feel sorry for ourselves.
I know.
We're dragging ass in the morning, you know?
Always remember, somebody's got it worse than you.
That's right. That's true. Right.
That's good life advice to live by.
I'm sure someone is more nauseous than me right now in the world somewhere.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's someone there that is that. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. We'll have Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie at 7:30. They're in Philly tonight before coming back home this weekend on Saturday. Charles Robinson for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock from Yahoo Sports. We will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him, so looking forward to that. Joe, some news on the college football front. A huge weekend for the local teams this weekend. You got Vanderbilt on the road at Texas. You got Tennessee at home. In what is essentially a playoff game between the Vols and Oklahoma coming up on Saturday. You have Arch Manning, who has been in concussion protocol, that has now found his way back out on the field this week, and he is practicing. He's still in the protocol, and his status against Vanderbilt is still uncertain, but he is out there on the field. So we'll see what that looks like. On the Tennessee front, Jermaine McCoy, it was pointed out yesterday, is on the field, in pads, but still not going to play this weekend against Oklahoma. So they will still not have McCoy. There was some concern about Colton Hood heading into the game for the Vols, and he does not even show up on the injury report. So that's good news for them.
No, that's a big development. I thought that there was a decent chance he might miss this one. But, yeah, look, on both of those things – first of all, you know, I mean, you do see sometimes concussion protocol, concussions, and a week later. You don't see it a lot. You see it sometimes. The fact that he's practicing, I mean, that's I guess that would probably point toward likelihood of Arch playing. But, I mean, I guess I've seen that before, too, where you get out there, and again, it may not even be in the first week, and then you still aren't cleared to play. So keep an eye on that one. Yeah, the Jermaine McCoy, we've been talking about it, and it just, you know, I wonder if now you have a break. Can you get through this game, get a win, and are you going to get a heck of an add to your roster, you know, down the stretch? It seems like that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pete Nakos put it out there yesterday that he's still pushing to get back in the fold here for Tennessee. You know, obviously we're running out of time at this point. It's November coming up on Saturday, November the 1st. and you're in the hot point of the season. You got another bye week coming up. You got New Mexico State, Florida on the road, and then Vanderbilt. So particularly, you know, obviously if you win the game against Oklahoma coming up on Saturday, there's still going to be some very meaningful games for Tennessee down the stretch. And if they got him back, and particularly if he was anywhere close to full strength back, that would be large for a Tennessee defense that has given up big play after big play after big play so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the way Hood has played, you put McCoy over there, how different is that from, you know, they've basically been picking on the other side.
Yes.
You know, Redmond. I mean, they've been so.
Or yeah, Boo Carter.
Yeah, well, yeah, certainly. Like, hey, come try to tackle us and don't tackle us.
He's not going to – he thinks he's playing two-hand touch out there.
that could be a big game changer. And, yeah, it's like the Florida, the Vanderbilt game. Again, I guess if you lose this week, then it's – I mean, who knows, right? I mean, if you lose this week, you're pretty much out of the playoff, I would say. And so maybe we never see him.
You know?
Although I still – yeah, you know – I don't know. I guess
is he enough of a slam dunk of a higher first round pick where he can go the whole year on a torn ACL and not play and still be that at the end of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, you revert back to his film from 2024, which is very good, and then the testing probably tells a story on that, right? Like if it's fantastic, then maybe. But yeah, I would think that, and look, I think that it would impress people too. By the way, you know, it's true that teams, when it comes down to it, you know, guys opting out, all that stuff, it's so normal now and everything. Talent wins. But I do think that if you're a guy like him and you're like, yeah, I actually want to come help my team and play with my guys, I think that helps you. I think GMs and coaches like that, you know. So that could actually be a benefit for him. Oh, you are obviously putting yourself in harm's way, but I think that could be a benefit as long as you don't get hurt again.
Joe, college football is a beautiful sport. And one of the things that makes it beautiful is there's a lot of people involved with it. You know, we got public universities out there. We got a lot of people weighing in on thoughts and different situations around the country when it comes to college football. And we saw yet another example of this yesterday, Joe. Again, you know, the LSU job is open. As we know, Brian Kelly, our good friend, gone from LSU. And now they've got a coaching search that they have got to embark on now here. And Governor Jeff Landry down there in Louisiana has thrown out at least one person, Joe, that he does not think is going to be selecting this next head coach, and that is the LSU athletic director, Scott Woodward. And he talks about, you know, we got a pattern going on here. He wrote up a contract, cost Texas A&M $77 million. Right now, we got $53 million. We're going to have to pay this Brian Kelly dude because this contract this guy wrote up. So you know what? He's not going to be doing it. He was asked directly if Scott Woodward, the athletic director, is going to hire the next head coach and make the decision. And Jeff Landry, the governor in Louisiana, said, quote, no, I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. So there you go, AD. You are not selecting the next coach, according to the governor.
We got to hear this, too. Well, before the show's end, because, I mean, his Cajun accent is just absolutely amazing when
he says
it, too.
Yeah.
I tell y'all, I'll say. I can't do it, but it's amazing.
That athletic director's coming nowhere near the next coach.
So then he said, like, the board, and then later someone interviewed, like, one of the board members, like, oh, I didn't know we were supposed to do that. Really? Okay. It's oh my goodness. Honestly,
this guy's writing up contracts that are just crazy expensive.
it's hilarious. It's another just beautiful chapter for college football. Is it possible that all that craziness, like Lane looks at that and says, you know what? I think I'm just going to hotty toddy and just mind my own business. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe.
Look,
maybe he likes it more.
I don't know. Did you see any of the Lane Kiffin documentary that's been out there?
You know, I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen some pretty good bits and pieces, like some clips from it on TikTok, because, you know, I'm a cool kid on TikTok.
Right.
And, like, it is interesting. His family, I think, is going to play a big factor in all this. Like, they love it at Ole Miss. You know, his kids are talking about basically how they have their dad back at Ole Miss. And he went on, I can't remember where it was last week, if it was McAfee, if it's Feinbaum, where it was. And he was talking about, like, you know, money And people say this stuff all the time. It's like, well, money, like, I'm not making decisions based off money. But, like, if you watch it, his interview last week, like, I kind of believe him. Like, he's not making decisions just based purely off of money. So I do think there is at least a decent shot that he's going to stay at Ole Miss. I mean, one of the things they talked about in the documentary, like, he's pretty close taking the Auburn job. And he was basically like, you know, I'm not saying I was absolutely going to take it. But, I mean, I was thinking about it. And then his daughter was basically like, I just got here and now you're going to go? No. So I'm very interested to see how all that plays out.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's a guarantee. I don't think it's a slam dunk at all. It's about obviously he wants to win national championship, just like, you know, anyone in that profession.
Yeah.
He keeps moving up, and the question is very simple to me. It's like, if you believe you can do it there and you think you can sustain it, what you're doing, then what? I mean, to me, that's a what's more impressive, doing that at a place that's never done it, or just being like the fourth coach out of five to win one at LSU?
You know? It's a good question.
Or again, Florida too. I mean, I know Florida fans are screaming, why the hell do you people think LSU is a better job? You know, and it's like the whole thing is like, does LSU? Is it true that like LSU is so built in with the top talent around Louisiana, is that going to stay the case? You know, I don't know. They're both great jobs. They're both obviously like better jobs. There's bigger budgets, much bigger budgets and all that stuff. There's more resources than Ole Miss. But if he has resources for players that can compete with anybody else, well, that's really what it's about.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running on the program here today. Rex Road has played matchmaker when it comes to college football and The Athletic. We'll go through some of that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. College football has a lot of jobs open at the moment, more that I'm sure are coming down the pike here as we get through the rest of the regular season. And Rex Road has played a little matchmaking game at The Athletic that we're going to discuss now. Now, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind on all this. First off, you know, according to some reports, Matt Rhule may have signed an extension at Nebraska through 2030. So we'll see if that information ends up being accurate, but that's kind of the buzz this morning. So we'll see what that looks like with the Nebraska job, which is a big deal because obviously he is a name that has been connected to Penn State very often in all this. So we'll see what ends up happening on that front. But Joe, take our listeners through here with the exercise that you've done at The Athletic here and what sparked this idea and what's going to be already a crazy college football coaching search that I think could get even crazier here in the next month.
We got 8 Power 4 jobs open right now. So I'm trying to think, do I have those? LSU is now open. Florida, Penn State, Arkansas, Virginia Tech, UCLA, Oklahoma State, and Stanford. I threw 5 more in there. Now they won't all necessarily become open. There are others that may. I mean, I didn't do. There's a few more out here that people. I mean, like Baylor could be a thing. Like, there's a lot that potentially people talking NC State. I mean, it's all over the place. This might just get really wild, but I threw these 5 into the mix. Auburn, Kentucky, Florida State, Michigan State, Wisconsin.
All reasonable?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think more than not, I would guess all of them will, but I don't know. There's talk about like Fickell in Wisconsin, and there's talk about Michigan State not having the money. I can't. And then I guess it's possible like with Stoops too in Kentucky, but I just feel like that's ending along with Norvell. And
yep.
Hugh, I don't know. I guess Hugh could hang on, but
he could.
He could.
And if he beats Vanderbilt, a long way to keeping his
job.
That
is true. Can you finally beat Diego Pavia? But anyway, I just went with those 13 jobs. But then you also have to open jobs up if you take someone away from a Power 4 job. So I actually ended up filling like 15 jobs. With the big ones here, first of all, one that I think is happening, and I'll tell you, as a Virginia Tech football fan, I'm excited. My brother, Virginia Tech grad, is excited. Some of his buddies aren't excited, and I think they're stupid. And that would be James Franklin. There's some serious smoke about this. So, I mean, I like it anyway. James Franklin's been recruiting the hell out of Virginia for a while. Really, he started to plunder what guys, the kids from Hampton Roads, Virginia Tech, used to get. And I just think it's this is a place that needs someone aggressive. This is a place that needs, you know, recruiting and all that stuff to ramp up. The whole knock on him that can't win the big game. Okay, well, if you're Virginia Tech, you can get back to winning 9-10 games. Okay. And by the way, in the ACC, he might be able to win the big game.
Might be.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so I love that one. I think it's happened. Well, I don't know if I think it's happened. I hope it happens. There's some smoke around there. You know, I put Lane with LSU.
Okay.
So, and I'm with you. I think Lane to LSU is far from a sure thing. I think Lane staying at Ole Miss would be awesome to see. The governor may have thrown a curveball yesterday to everybody unwittingly. Oh, come on down here and work for us. I'll tell you what to do. What?
You could coach, but you have to do it for $18 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. I'll pay you per victory.
We're going to have a lot of fun with this.
I'll give you some crawfish etouffee and $1 million per victory.
Just go rehire a coach, O. Let's get bring him back home.
But I still think Lane goes there. And you're going to be mad, and maybe it's great. Maybe you love it. You like that, as Kirk Cousins said. Mm-hmm. But I got Eli Drinkwitz going to Florida, okay?
You talk about something that would send me over the edge.
That Florida fan, you know, the comments, I mean, let me look here. I mean, how many comments are on this thing? There's a lot of people get mad about these things, as you may expect. You start talking about matchmaking their teams with certain coaches.
Yep.
Florida fans, I will tell you, in the comments here, we're not exactly. Yeah, I got 412 comments right now on this. Some of them from Florida fans who very much do not like
they don't want
this
Eli
at all. They don't want Eli. I
think if you mentioned with the Florida job right now, anybody other than Lane Kiffin,
yep,
John Gruden, or Urban Meyer coming out of retirement, I think they get really mad about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Gruden is, you know, he's a possibility here with some of these. No, I think the big thing is they're all in on Lane, right? Like the realistic fans, they're all in on Lane. And I got them losing to LSU. And I think Eli Drinkwitz would be a good hire. I understand not liking him personally. I understand your feelings on him. I think his face is quite punchable.
Most people
okay?
do, yes.
But I think he's good. I think he's good. And so I went there. I don't have to go through all these, but a few interesting ones. Auburn. The Auburn fans listening, if you like this one. Alex Golish. I think that offense, which has worked well in this league, I mean, it's working awfully well at Ole Miss. It's working pretty darn well at Tennessee, especially this year, now that it's back to looking like the offense. You know, I think you distinguish yourself a little bit from Alabama. You bring in here's the thing with Golish, and I think with a lot of the coaches that I think are going to be successful in this era, I think Clark Lee has demonstrated this, you know, and I think Golish has too at a lower level. You have so many people coming in from all over the place. I think the culture, inspiring big picture CEO coach that can bring people together is just more important than scheming and all that stuff. And about Golish is a good schemer, he's got a good offense, but Golish is really good at that stuff. And I think you've seen it at South Florida, although they lost a game they shouldn't have lost to Memphis. But I think Auburn, and I think if Auburn came after him, I know he likes USF and all that, but you know,
be hard to turn that
it'd
down.
Be hard to turn that down. A little outside the box. Michigan State, I went with Pat Fitzgerald. Now Pat Fitzgerald has been out of the game, the hazing scandal.
Yep.
And all that. I've never thought that would keep him out completely. He got personally exonerated. I mean, they did stuff that shouldn't have happened on his watch. But I never thought that was a career ender. It's not Art Briles. You know, it's not some of these other things. And I think at some point, he's only 50. He did pretty good things at Northwestern where it's hard to recruit. I think that, again, I think he's that kind of guy, too. I think he's that kind of coach that is, I mean – you know, I'm not saying you have to be a Newt Rockne guy, but he's that kind of coach. So I think that That would be good for them. Ryan Silverfield from Memphis to Arkansas, not Gruden. I don't have Gruden going anywhere. I'm sorry. Now, Missouri fans already hate me because I ranked their job so low in the SEC, and then I gave them Mike Norvell, so they really hate me. Is Mike Norvell coming the way down for Florida State exciting for a Missouri fan?
Probably not, but, I mean, he did for a while win at Florida State and then quickly went the other way. Very quickly went the other
way. Well, it's like incredibly good or incredibly bad. Yeah. He's 44. He did really good things at Memphis. I mean, he was 23-4 in 22 and 23 at Florida State. That includes losing his quarterback.
Yeah.
It would have been better than that. But, I mean, this year, then we thought it was the big comeback. Again, maybe they won't fire him. So, I mean, this is fantasy football that we're playing here. But if he does get fired, it'll be really interesting to me to see if he's attractive. Kentucky, this is a guy who I think a lot of these jobs are going to look at, and I don't know that Kentucky can get him, but he did play at Kentucky. That's John Summerall at Tulane. He's done tremendous work at Tulane. Troy before that. He's really good. He's probably as coveted, I would guess, a group of five coaches there is. I mean, I think Golish is moving up the list there too.
I'd say he might hold out for a better job.
That's yeah, and he may. I mean, look, there's people at LSU saying if you don't get Lane, you got to go get John Summerall. So I don't know if that'll happen, but he may get a better job. The question here is, will the heartstrings work on John Summerall at Kentucky?
Can we get to the chaos part of what you've done here, which is I'm just seeing it, and it's awesome. I mean, you had Lane going to LSU, which obviously if that happened would create a job opening at Ole Miss, and you got Dan Mullen coming back in the SEC, former Bulldog coach, former Florida coach, and taking the job at Ole Miss. That would be pretty sick. He's going to get another big job at some point. I'm interested to see where it is. But, like, if Lane left and Ole Miss went and hired Dan Mullen, first off, Mississippi State fans would lose their mind. And secondly, that'd be really interesting to see the job he did there.
I forgot about those angry comments. Yeah. I mean, I had to do it, man. You know,
I'm glad you did.
1 year at UNLV, and there's been some talk about, I'm just got here. But if he can get back in the SEC.
I think he'd probably do it.
And, look, he's been at Mississippi State. I'm sorry, but, like, the other side of the Egg Bowl, they got things a little bit better over there, you know? And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Nick Fraser. I'm sorry.
I turned my head in just disgust.
You did.
Don't you dare ever put that Fraser's evil on me.
Do you like Dan Mullen? Like, do you
I
miss
love him?
Yeah.
I miss him. I wish he'd come back to Starkville. I mean, he turned that program around.
Yeah.
He did a great job in Mississippi
State. I was at the game where they went number one overall in the nation against Auburn. Coffee mug got thrown.
I mean,
on me.
I know
it was
that,
great.
You know, obviously, he clearly wears on people. Like, there's no doubt about it. But, like, I mean, the win-loss record at Florida, pretty good. Like, I think Florida fans are looking at it right now, and they're like, well, you know, wasn't that bad with Dan Mullen.
Well, in retrospect, they didn't give him everything he needed. Now, the recruiting aspect of it, that was the big knock on him, right? Yep. It's like, what are you doing? But, yeah, no, he's good. He's a good coach. I think he's going to end up somewhere pretty soon.
As long as he's not on TV. Didn't go well on TV.
Yeah, not great.
No.
It wasn't great on TV.
Nope. Some people are just meant to be ball coaches, man.
That's right. Like him and Lou Holtz.
That's right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More your thoughts to get to on the college football front. There's a massive one coming up on Saturday between Tennessee and Oklahoma. We'll get into that. Best and worst things in sports later this hour. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday night football game. Monday night matchups, the Cardinals taking on the Cowboys. Get excited for some Monday night football. Check it out with Chase and Big Joe. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up here in just a few minutes. And taking your thoughts on that as well, 615-737-1025. A massive game coming up at Neyland Stadium this weekend. The 6-2 Tennessee Volunteers taking on a 2-loss Oklahoma team as well in what is essentially a playoff game. Now, I guess, Joe, based on the way that their schedule ends here, that there's a chance if Oklahoma loses that they could still get in at 9-3. There is a chance because their schedule is a gauntlet down the stretch. They go at Tennessee this weekend. I think their next game is at Alabama. They got Missouri in there. They got LSU in there. You know, they've already played Texas. Like, there's, you know, it's been a challenging schedule for Oklahoma. So there's an outside chance, I think, if they go 9-3, they could get in to the college football playoff.
Tennessee ain't getting in at 9-3. It just ain't happening. Based on, I mean, they just don't have enough quality wins at that point. Even if they were to beat Vanderbilt, Tennessee's not getting in at 9-3. So Tennessee's going to have to win out to get into the college football playoff. And this is one of their biggest tests coming up this weekend at home against Oklahoma. John Mateer, prior to his thumb injury, was really good and was probably, you know, included with anybody you want to talk about when it came to the Heisman Trophy race. It has not gone as well for Oklahoma's offense and specifically Oklahoma's passing attack since the injury. Now, some of that may be the injury. Some of that is they've played some better defenses along the way here. So we'll see what that looks like on Saturday. Tennessee, not a very good defense. Oklahoma's defense by the numbers has been good. I was watching Josh Pate on this last night, and he was talking about how Oklahoma's defensive numbers have been good. They hadn't played very good offenses yet, specifically very good passing attacks, and they just played one in Ole Miss, and Ole Miss threw for 315 on them. So Tennessee's got a better passing offense statistically than Ole Miss does. What's that going to look like in this game? So it's setting up, Joe, for what could be a very high-scoring affair coming up at Neyland Stadium on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like I think back to the Oklahoma game, like against Michigan, for example, you know, a good win for them. I mean, decent win for them, but, like, that's a team that struggles to throw the football. You know, I think some of their numbers have been built a little bit on teams that do, and obviously Tennessee does not. I think Tennessee – look, I think Tennessee's offense, frankly, I like the matchup, and just about, I'm trying to think of a defense. I guess if you play to Ohio State and the way, you know, the way that defense looks, you know, that maybe they'd lock down the Vols. But like I have total confidence that Tennessee's offense can move the ball and score points in just about any matchup. You know, sneak in some stops, and the thing is, like you said, Mateer just hasn't quite been the same. I don't know how much that's related to the injury, but
he says it's not.
It hasn't.
He says his thumb's feeling fine.
Yeah, it just hasn't looked as good, you know? And maybe that's just a little bit of reality setting in. I don't know. It's not like everybody who comes from Washington State is automatically going to be, you know, a superstar quarterback. But he's good.
Yeah.
And he runs around. And, yeah, based on Tennessee's defense, yeah, I think they'll score points too. But I think I like Tennessee's defenses at home, defense's chance of getting, you know, sneaking some stops in there a little bit more than Oklahoma's. Not that Oklahoma, you know, I mean, Oklahoma will get some stops too. They got a lot of talent on defense. But, again, I got confidence in Tennessee's offense just about any time out right now, especially in that stadium.
To me, the deep ball for Tennessee, like Joey Aguilar is completing the deep ball at a pretty high rate. And that's been a lot of conversation this week around there is, like, if you go and look at the numbers, the lowest percentage throws – are typically like those deep shots down the field that are like right on the sideline, and he's completing those almost with regularity, like on a game-by-game basis, whether it's Brazel. You know, Staley's largely been more over the middle, but, you know, they've had some deep shots there as well. And then, you know, he threw one. I mean, you tell me, he launched it probably 55 yards in the air last week.
Couldn't have
run up and handed it to Mike Matthews any better than he did.
Incredible throw.
The deep balls have been very good for Joey Aguilar. If you look at the receiving numbers, their three guys are all in the top 10 in SEC receiving yards right now. Staley, Matthews, and Brazel kind of leading the way there. So the receiving core, after all the questions that we had coming into the year about it, they're good. Like, they're really good. Those three are. I mentioned, like, Matthews to me kind of felt like he took a step in the Kentucky game where he just went up and just wrestled it away from guys a couple of times. And he looked kind of like the five-star guy that I think they need him to look like. Can he do that against Oklahoma? Like, he had a big game against Kentucky. He had a big game against Mississippi State where he had 6 for 118. You know, in the Georgia game, he struggled a little bit. He had a huge drop in that game. He had a drop in the Alabama game. So in one of these bigger matchups, like we're going to see on Saturday night, can he come through in against one of those type of teams? Now, I'm not saying Georgia or Oklahoma is Georgia or Alabama, but this is a huge game, and they need him to come through in a huge game.
Huge game, no doubt. And, yeah, and you know, the thing is, it's like you got to remember sometimes, you know, second year in college. I mean, this is, you know, the timelines get so mangled sometimes, and obviously, you know, it was kind of disappointing last year, but also we know how things go with Josh Heupel's offense. I think he's on track, and I think he's surging right now, and it's amazing to think about Aguilar and those receivers, which was the number one thing we wondered about this team, and then there's other things that we thought would be good that weren't as good, but it's a heck of a crew. I mean,
Aguilar and the receivers are by far the best part of the team.
Yeah.
By far.
And it's like, I'm not saying, you know, if you compare it to like Hooker and what he had 3 years ago, I mean, like, it's not, you know, Hooker was having an insane season, you know, yeah. And he was just, yeah, like, but, I mean, it's not that far off. It really isn't.
No, it's not. I mean, from a yardage standpoint, from a points per game standpoint, it's really not that far off. Now, you know, Brazel's having a great year. All three of those guys are having good years. I mean, none of those guys are having Jalen Hyatt, Biletnikoff type years.
Right.
And when that team had touchdowns against Alabama.
Yeah, no. Right. There's no Hyatt. And when Tillman was healthy, that was really absurd. So it's not quite that. But, yeah, I mean, Matt, you can see it with Matthews. Matthews is
– he's good.
He's a pro.
Yeah. Well, and can your defense find a way to come up with a few big-time stops in this game? Like, this is the type of game, Joe, that Tennessee has won a lot over the last couple of years. Like, they just don't lose at home very much. Like, they've lost at home in the SEC basically to Georgia. Like, that's how it's gone. Yeah, so can you – and what's going to be – your Saturday night game that all Tennessee fans have been clamoring for all year. They've been really mad that they've not gotten any Saturday night home games yet. Well, you got one. You got the dark mode jerseys. I know you hate them. People seem to love them. Players seem to love them. And they've won in them. So what does that look like on Saturday night? I mean, we know like the environment's going to be off the chain on Saturday. So can Oklahoma handle that?
Yeah. I'm shocked if anyone but Georgia goes in there and beats them. And so I expect them to win this game. If they lose this game, the dark mode jerseys hopefully get burned. And we never see them again. I mean, at least that would be the one real upside there.
Such a hater.
Well, it's just, yeah, you know, they have great uniforms. If you have great uniforms, don't mess with the great uniforms.
I love the kind of the classic look for Oklahoma. And, you know, they're going to be wearing the all-white uniforms with I mean, they basically have two uniforms, so they're wearing their road uniform this weekend. The all white and the crimson that they've got, and then Tennessee's orange and white would look really good.
Would be awesome. And that's good. I assume that was what it was, right? 10 years ago when Baker came in, right?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Pretty sweet. But oh well. Dark mode. But yeah. I mean, that's what they wore that goofy Kentucky game where Will Levis kept throwing interceptions.
Yeah, that one was over by about the second possession, I think.
Remember, like, Levis, they had one TD drive early. It was like, ooh, okay, maybe they're in this. And then it was, no. I don't think this is going to be that, but, man, it's a lot. In that stadium at night, with that offense the way it's playing, that's tough, man. Tough assignment for the Sooners.
Well, the best and worst things in sports coming up next. Take your best things, your worst thing at 615-737-1025 on our text line. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
It's got a Snickers bar to settle my stomach. Was that smart or dumb?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
You don't have a Snickers.
What's that?
You're not you and you don't have Snickers. He's right. You seen those commercials?
You're not you? That's the new slogan? You're not you.
You haven't seen those commercials where it was like, Betty White back in the day?
Yeah.
He would like go tackle Clay Matthews or something.
For some reason, I thought the slogan was still Snickers really satisfies, even for those. But that makes sense now. Actually, I think it might be helping a little bit. My best in sports is, you know, Vanderbilt football, where they are, yes, but especially Saturday, game day, all that stuff. I don't think it could have gone much better. Anybody who's a Vanderbilt fan who took part in that is gaga about it. Just the whole scene, and it's like the stadium looks cool and the team is really good, and it's a lot of fun to see that. And for the people over there who, you know, people over there long time in athletics, I think, and Vanderbilt fans for sure, of course, but also like the people who've been toiling over there in athletics for a long time. And, you know, they've had, you know, you had Tim Corbett in baseball, you know, through it all and things like that. But a lot of struggles to try to get just a fraction of what your competitors had for decades. And it's pretty cool to see those people be rewarded. So that's my best. My worst is just the utter misery of being in a professional sports city where not only do both teams stink, but they just can't score.
Yep.
They just have no offense. And it's just, and we've been talking about it, and it's very obvious and low-hanging fruit for me to use, but you guys let me go first, so hey, it's on you. It's just, it really is depressing, and I just need one of them to stink in a different way at least. If you're not going to stop stinking, stink in a different way.
There we go. Nick Frazier, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Best thing would be Michael Jordan's sit-down with Mike Tirico weekly.
Yeah.
He mentioned load management. I think that's hilarious that he brought it up, saying, you know what, it's not
in my day,
it's not a real thing, which is great. I think that's a thing that needs to be brought back, is no load management. I mean, play for the sport. It's honestly, it's shaping the younger generation that's trying to fall in love with basketball again. So I think Michael Jordan's doing a service for basketball.
There
for
we
sure.
go.
The worst thing in sports, MTSU's game last night. Bless their hearts. Halftime, there was that interception that Vadiato threw.
That was amazing.
Whatever that jumble of play was, and they called it a touchdown at the end. That's my biggest issue with college referees. They're going to call anything a touchdown or it's inbounds or whatever. Be a true referee and call it your initial judgment. Like, don't go and default to the touchdown and then go to video review. That's stupid. Everything's been defaulted to video review. Go with your gut. Be an actual referee and go with your gut.
I'll counter you, though, because if it was actually, you know, like when you blow the whistle, you don't let a play go, then it can't be that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why they're kind of taught to let a play go.
Well, I'm just saying,
yes,
though, that
the
was
fact
obvious.
That the fact that the touchdown was called was pretty funny because there were, like, multiple forward throws.
Even the broadcast was like, of course it's a touchdown. It's
top play.
USA.
Yeah.
Not going well for Derek Mason there. That's in year two, by the way.
Tough year.
Not going well. My best thing in sports, Jordan Love, baby. He was balling on Sunday Night Football against the Steelers. 20 consecutive completions. He ends up 29 of 37, 360, three touchdowns, no picks. Really good in that game. Quarterback rating of 134.2. And for some reason, I guess there's people out there that still think that he's just, like, not good. Let me read you his numbers. 71% completion percentage. This is on the season. 71% completion percentage, 1,800 yards passing, 8-4 an attempt, 13 touchdowns, 2 picks. Guy's pretty good, man.
Who's saying he's not good?
I mean, there are some Bears fans trying to talk themselves into him not being good. Rex Ryan was on there a couple weeks ago on ESPN. He was like, yeah, I mean, Packers are good, but I don't trust Jordan Love. I mean, the guy, he's just not going to come through in the big moments. It's like, well, based on what? The fact that they've not won a Super Bowl yet?
I guess until you've won it.
I guess
you can't come through.
So, I mean, the guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he's very good.
So he is my best thing in sports this week. My worst thing in sports, the Nashville Predators, specifically in the second period. We got to figure out what's going on in the second period. Three games in a row, they've gone through like a 15-minute stretch in the second period into the third where they just don't approach the offensive zone. Like, it happened again against Tampa the other night. It happened last week against L.A. They ended up winning that game. But L.A., the Dallas game, like, they just – I don't know if it's long change. I don't know what it is. But they went through – I mean, I guess Tuesday night against Tampa, they had three shots on goal in the period, and I think one of them was like a dump-in. So it's like, good grief. We got to get something figured out. It's one thing to be bad offensively. I said this the other day. They're not good offensively. They're limited in what they do. But you make it a whole lot worse when you go through basically a third of the game and you can't even get in the zone. Like, we got to get something figured out on that front.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe they need, like, you know, to change it to just, like, have a halftime or something. I don't know.
Maybe,
you know?
So.
It's like that's the period you hope to just kind of take off a little bit and then really ramp it up for the third.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Just saving your legs. One texter says, 18 innings in a World Series game is both the best and the worst thing in sports.
Good call.
How about those Blue Jays? They're one win away.
How about them, man? Wow.
One win away. Josh in Kentucky says, my worst thing has been the same all football season. Mark effing Stoops. This is from Josh in Kentucky. I think a lot of Kentucky fans are fed up with Mark Stoops.
I would ask you, though, Josh in Kentucky, can you appreciate what Mark Stoops has done for a program that, in my view, was not worth even mentioning for a long time before he got there?
I would say that the answer to that should be yes. And you could, I would say both. Yeah. You can appreciate what he's done and also recognize it's probably time to move on at this point.
Yep.
Would be the way that I would view it on that front. By the way, people love dark mode jersey for Tennessee on this text line right now. They love the dark mode jersey.
Yeah, everybody's saying. Oh, yeah, look at all these dark mode jerseys. Yeah, great.
Best. Top five alternate in college football.
Top five?
Somebody said.
Oh, whatever. I mean, they all suck. Great. You're in the top five of crap. I got a best for Taylor Wong. That's the kid, the Vanderbilt kid, 500K. Crushed it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're, I don't know, they're mad. The worst is that we cut off Vandy postgame for the Preds. Well, yeah.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. And MLB, all with no warning. I don't know. I wish I wouldn't have read this now. Chase is going to get mad at me.
Now Tennessee fans are just all over Kentucky on the text line as well about how bad they are. So that's fun.
Joey from Gallatin, UK is still ass. Mark Stoops did a good job. Mark Stoops did a really good job. Oh, yeah. Josh says, yeah, thanks for the two or three good years, Mark. I mean, it was a little better than that, right? I mean, Kentucky football, man. Like, Kentucky football was, whew. Tough scene before he got there. I got a best Cedric Coward, worst Tyler Shuck.
I mean, Tyler Shuck hadn't even played yet, has he? Like, he's going to start starting now.
Is it because the worst is that he's playing? Is that he's taking over for Spencer Rattler?
Yeah, I was really enjoying watching Spencer Rattler play football out there.
Yeah. Boy, don't take him off the field. Ryan Kessler's a good worst. Good worst.
Yeah, that's
worst
a good one.
Worse in sports doesn't begin to say it.
That's a good one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get into the Titans and the NFL trade deadline coming up next. Derek McKenzie, Preds assistant coach, coming up at 7:30. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.